listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev. Reiner Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, how you doing?
I'm solid, man. I'm better than Struds. He's a little sloppy right now, hey?
I will say, though, he didn't. Had he used that line after he screwed up on The Godfather, he would have been able to redeem himself. But he did have a good line because they were talking about head sizes earlier. And Majot was telling us, people, I said, I bet you Rashog would be in that conversation for sure. It's probably your hat size is probably like a 7.58, 7.78 or something. And then Stretti pulled out. He goes, is that why he's having trouble having his hair cover all of it?
He is so not one to be throwing those stones around.
Well, that's what I like about it. That's what makes it even funnier. I got a picture. I got a picture I'll send you from yesterday if you want a good laugh, though.
All right, definitely do that. I definitely love a laugh at Strud's expense. So from what I can gather, I heard you two clowns kibitzing. He totally was firm in the notion that there was four Godfather movies.
Yeah, well, we were talking about greatest trilogies. He's like, yeah, I would have used a Godfather, but there's four of them. And we're like, pardon?
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Like, and I know how he feels, how he sat in the commercial break just feeling stunned at his own stupidity.
Well, his line was the best. I'd rather be wrong in hockey. He goes, being wrong about that is brutal.
Good. Yeah, that's bad. But I've been there, man. Like, that feeling he had where you're sitting there going, oh, my God, that just happened. I just said that. I'm going to get killed. That's the feeling I had after the interview I did in the Eskimo game where the guy had to crack my mouth.
We're down 9. Oh, that's still a classic.
Man, we're only down 9. But I know that feeling where you're sitting there, you're stunned at your own stupidity.
Oh, yeah, we've all been
and
there.
So,
dude, every day on the show.
Yeah, as Strud's is peeling into his vehicle right now, and you know, I don't know if he listens to us or Avril Lavigne on the way home or whatever, but he's sitting there, hopefully listening to this, having a chuckle at his own stupidity.
I was amazed at how many of my Italian friends were texting me about the Godfather.
All over him.
Gino is losing his marbles. Absolutely losing his marbles. So I love it. We now have a $2,200 bid. Awesome for the big event.
Man,
let's go.
You got
great.
The best listeners, man. Your
buddy,
listeners come up something fierce.
Oh, it's awesome. It is awesome.
They're gamers, man. That's awesome.
Now, Rashog, are you going to get a lot of sleep in the next 5 days? Because you're going to arguably the greatest NHL city for the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, man. It's and the city's been on fire. The fans have been crazy. The town's been going off. And on top of all of that, there's a country music festival that's going to start there late next week. So it's, yeah, man, it's going to be awesome. And it'll be lots of fun. The hockey will be great. The city will be great. I'm totally pumped to get tapped to go do that. So I'm really excited. Should be good times.
So are you coming home between game 4 and 6?
No, I'm staying there.
Oh, geez. You and Parker?
No, Parker's traveling back and forth. He's been requested by the TSN panel to do the camera work on the panel. So he's got to go back and forth between the two cities, whereas I'll just have to sit tight in Nashville. Because the thing is that there's 2 days between games a number of times.
Yep.
So the Predators will stay home when the Penguins go back to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So you need a reporter in each city. And then after the game in Pittsburgh, the Predators will fly home. So then you need a reporter in Nashville to cover them the next day. So to keep yourself covered from a travel standpoint, you got to just leave a reporter in each city. And I don't know, somehow I ended up with Nashville.
Nice. I do like this text, by the way. We're all about nicknames on the show. And if Rashog's the mathlete, maybe Struds is the Godfather. That's food for thought. It's food for thought. We might have to think about that. Predators, Penguins, so give me your thoughts on who you like and why.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Tried to look at the season series today, and neither of the games really were either team at full strength at the same time. Nashville ran into a bit of an illness for one of the games against Pittsburgh. I just have a hard time betting against the better decor and the best goalie in the series, because I think that their decor is better by a significant margin, and I think their goaltender probably has the ability to be as good, if not better, than the other guy. And although Pittsburgh has a lot more weaponry up front, I don't know. I feel like Nashville is the Cinderella team that has something special going this year. So just for fun, I mean, I'm terrible at prognosticating. We kind of all are. For fun, I'm going to pick the Predators in six games in this one and say they cap off a sensational season and David Poile finally gets his ring and PK Subban gets to celebrate a Stanley Cup. Because it's just so rare for teams to go back-to-back. So I'm going to go with the Preds in six because I think their D and their goalie is better, and I think they can handle the Pittsburgh forwards. You?
I picked the Preds in six. I admit it, it's kind of picking with my heart a little bit. And I don't mind Pittsburgh at all, and that's why I'm kind of torn because I love the style Pittsburgh plays. They're up-tempo, they skate, they play fast, they don't sit back. I love all that. I love the fact when you have a team go back-to-back because it's really hard to do, so I kind of want to see that, but at the same time, I love the story. The Predators, that city, I think would be fantastic for that market. So I'm kind of rooting for them. But if Pittsburgh, this is one of the few times where a lot of times there's teams where I just don't like a team. And I have no problem. Like for me, the Warriors are going to beat the Cavs in five. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. But the Penguins, Predators series, I was kind of torn. Like if it was Ottawa, it would have been an easy pick for me. I would have picked Predators automatically.
Yeah.
But with the Pens in there, I think it's going to be a great series. And I really hope it goes seven. So we'll see from there. Now,
yeah.
Bob McKenzie mentioned he feels there's already three deals with Vegas. They haven't announced any of them yet. So with those 2 days off between games two and three, and then 2 days off again between games four and five, and then five and six, and so there's lots of days off, do you expect that we're going to start hearing about some of these deals between the Stanley Cup to lead up to the 17th when the draft is, and then on the 20th at the awards when they announce it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we could. I mean, the National Hockey League tends to frown on anything going on during the Stanley Cup final that makes news. They tend to get grumpy about those sorts of things. They want the Cup final to be the lead story every night. But when it comes to this and the kind of inertia that this is going to get, I don't think they'll be able to stop it. So if there's already deals in the hopper, I think we'll hear about them. I think that they'll start to strategize and some of that will be executing deals. So, yeah, I mean, I think the answer is yes. And especially, and maybe more relevant, is the combine coming up here. All the general managers and all the scouts and all the agents are all going to be gathered for the combine. And I think there could be lots of action that happens out there, including talks getting fired up between the Oilers and their two big guys that they need to get signed. I think there's going to be lots of action in and around that combine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm curious, like, is there a team when you've looked at depth charts? Like, most people expect Anaheim, because of their defense situation, is going to have to make a move. Minnesota, obviously, we assume, is going to make a trade. If you're admitted, like, we've talked a lot about Anaheim, but what about the Minnesota team? When you look, I think, you know, they have a few obvious ones that they're going to keep. But, like, depending, some people really like Brodin more, some like Dumba better. But, you know, Ryan Suter is obviously going to be protected and probably Spurgeon. But then you've got Scandella, you've got Brodin, you've got Dumba, you know, even Folan. Like, they've got six legit NHL defensemen on that team. Scandella, Dumba, Brodin, which one do you think gets moved?
Scandella, Dumba, Brodin. And there was talk last year about them potentially being willing to move Matt Dumba at the time. I think that Dumba maybe has the best chance of going. And I mean, listen, we don't watch that team every single night. So, I mean, I think that Brodin, his game fell off over a couple of seasons. He definitely wasn't where I think a lot of people thought he would be. And there's a softness in his game that I don't think they loved. Spurgeon really came on and got the big contract. Scandella, same thing. But Dumba to me is the guy I think that could, if they trade Matt Dumba, I think they could get some offense in return. And I think that's what that team needs, what that team wants. And rather than lose a guy, if they can find a way to swing a deal and get some offense, maybe Dumba is the guy that gets it for them. He's the youngest of the group too, right? And, you know, he's $2 million or something like that.
Yeah. He's 2.5, and then he's got 1 year left. He's an RFA. Brodin's a year older than him. He's got 4 years left. He's basically the same contract as. It's kind of funny, those Swedes, they all have the same deal at 4.167 with Klefbom and Larson. And then Scandella's 27, and he's a $4 million hit for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dumba, like, Dumb's a good player, and he's a young player. He's still figuring things out a little bit. Sometimes with he does have some kind of dynamic ability in his game at times, and you wonder how he can maybe harness that over the next couple of years. I mean, Cam Fowler was a highly offensive defenseman heading into the draft, was rated super high, but it really took Cam Fowler until, like, the Cam Fowler that I saw in these playoffs was miles ahead of the Fowler even of last year. He was awesome in the playoffs for them. The way he moved the puck, the way he skated, the way he got around out there, I mean, they're going to pay him all day long as far as I'm concerned. But it took him a number of years to get there. And so Dumba is another one of those players. I mean, he's coming off a 35-point season. That's nothing to shake a stick at for a 21, 22-year-old defenseman. You wonder where the upside is. Now, the problem in his game is hockey sense. That's always been the criticism of Matt Dumba, that his hockey sense isn't great. He doesn't think the game that well, makes dumb plays. I definitely saw it at the World Championship. Wasn't as usable as they wanted him to be because he was prone to the big mistake. But can a guy work his way through that? He's still young. And maybe Dumba has enough value out there that they can get some of the offense they need.
It will be interesting to see what they do. You know, the Islanders, a lot of teams with defensemen. And then I know a lot of people are like, would the Oilers jump out of D-men before? And if they could move out one of their wingers and then expose guys like Letestu and Cassian, I think they'd probably consider it.
Well, you mean and go the other?
Yeah, like go 4-4-1.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, Peter Chiarelli's matrix on defense is more difficult now. And he's going to have to figure out how to solve the puzzle. It's not just as simple as, well, start Matt Benning on the second pairing, because they might not have either guy that finished the year on their second pairing, and that's a problem. So he can't sign Russell ahead of time, because then he runs into having to expose him. What kind of certainty can he have that he can land Russell after July 1st and get that deal done? And if he can't, now you start the year with no Sekera, no Russell, you have Benning and Nurse as your second pairing. Now, they're ready to take a little bit of a step, but starting the year with both of your second-pairing guys gone is a big-time problem. So this will be a puzzle for him to figure out. I'll be very interested to see the way he goes about it. If they can get some sort of certainty from Russell on a deal and get a deal in principle in place and then lean on that, then I think he'll be comfortable with starting the year slotting Benning in there. But really hard not to go get a guy if neither of those guys is a lock to start the season. That really puts him in a tough spot. You can really get behind the eight ball fast if you don't have the decor you need. And they want to take a step forward next year.
And
the Oilers want to take a step forward, not a step back.
I would agree. It's going to be tough because so many guys had career years. It's not a guaranteed lock. You know, you look at Pittsburgh and, you know, between Stanley Cup victories, you know, they were out of the first round. They made the playoffs every year, sure, but they lost in the first round three times, only made it to the conference final once. So, no, it's difficult to always go ahead. And look at Nashville. They were a six-time 100-point team. Never got close to where they were now. So from year to year, it's crazy. I agree. Now, the one advantage, I guess, on starting on the 20th, they could negotiate with Russell once the expansion draft is done, right? And even on the 19th, they'll probably know who some of the guys are picked by then. And they would have until, what is it, the 25th, whenever that open period starts. They would still have exclusivity for a week if they really wanted to get it done.
But let me ask you this, though. If you're Chris Russell, are you gun-shy over what happened last year?
Yeah,
and going,
fair point.
And gun-shy because the deal wasn't there? Or are you feeling reasonably confident that, at worst, he's going to get the same deal he got last year from somewhere? But I would almost guarantee there's going to be a multi-year deal on the table for Russell from somewhere that's close to $4 million a year. So why wouldn't he maybe test the market a little bit and see what's out there?
I've been told, Ryan, that where he plays, you know, money is not his main factor. He, you know, Edmonton and Calgary in an ideal world are probably his two first choices because of his lifestyle and everything away from hockey. So now, hey, if money talks, it's like anything. You suddenly can like another city if somebody wants to go and overpay for him. So to me, you're right. He only had a 1-year deal at the end of the day for $3.1 million. And people are talking about 3 years at 4.5. I'm like, he had a good season. I thought he had a fine season. And I like Russell. But I don't know why a team would suddenly, if no one wanted to pay him 3 years last year, now they're going to pay him when he could only get one for three at 4.5. Like, that seems like a massive jump.
Well, and I don't know exactly what the agent was looking for last year. Maybe they overplayed their hand a little bit, and that's how he ended up where he ended up. I don't know for sure what the ask was. I think it was pretty high, from what I understand, and then it came down at the end when the jobs were drying up. I think someone will give Russell 3 years at between $3.5 and $4 million. I think that deal will be out there for him.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think he played well enough in the playoffs. I think with the expansion draft and teams losing a lot of defensemen, that he falls right into that range. He falls right into that range of the type of guy that teams are going to lose. A 3, 4, 5 on a lot of teams, somewhere in that range. That's Chris Russell. And he will be an easy, ready-made solution for teams that get banged up by the expansion draft. So do you not maybe take it to market and see what's out there, given there will be a lot of teams licking a few wounds from expansion? I'm not sure. It might be smart for them to actually go to market. And now, if the place is more important to him and all the things you're saying are true about where he wants to be and live and play and all that, then you go with the bird in the hand. And if you're Peter Chiarelli, I would think Peter Chiarelli would have to have a 2 or 3 year deal on the table in that money, 3.5.